And again, I want to welcome you to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room. We'll have a short study this morning, but hopefully it's one that will have some meaning to you and stick with you. And we're going to divert a little bit from our blood study. I think we're 17 or 18 studies deep in studying blood in the Scripture. But we're, for the notoriety of the day, being Father's Day, we're going to divert from the blood study for a day and take a look at another subject, which I've entitled simply The Father. Being those who rightly divide the Scripture, as we do, oftentimes I think, you know, we get caught up in doctrinal teaching to the exclusion sometimes of needful practical teaching. And this has been mentioned more than once lately by more than one person. So, you know, when those things begin to happen, I sometimes have to stop and say, well, maybe I'm supposed to bring something else. Maybe this is the Spirit's way of telling me, you know, let's look into a little something else here, and let's look at some practical truth and how it, you know, applies back in our lives. So us being those who rightly divide the Scripture, there's no better place to look for our marching orders, or as Dad likes to put it, our walk, what's expected of us as believers in Christ Jesus in this dispensation. There's no better place to look than in the seven books that Paul gave to the Gentiles, gave to us, as a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I heard a song on the radio this morning, "I'm Having a Red Letter Day." And the whole point of the song was evidently that the way the song was written is that they were gleaning the words of Christ. You've seen these red letter edition Bibles. And what they'll do is that all the words that Christ literally spoke on the earth while he was alive are written in red. Now, I have a problem with that, and I don't have a problem with that. Number one, the words that Christ wrote in red are the words of Christ. And I have no problem highlighting the words of Christ whatsoever. They are important. But here's my problem with that. No less important. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. No less important are the words of Christ that were given to the Apostle Paul for this dispensation that we live in this day. And I hope you understand that if you don't remember anything else I said this morning. Yes, the words of Christ are important, but so are the words that same Christ gave Paul specifically for us in this age that we live in today, in the dispensation, as Paul calls it, of the fullness of times, the dispensation of the mystery, of the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at the Father, and I've written that it seemed appropriate today to consider some attributes of our Father and some patterns that are set forth for us and our practical walk from the Scriptures written to us today. Now, I don't for 2 minutes claim to be better at doing this particular kind of study than Forrest is. Forrest Cottrell is one of the best teachers of taking practical walk Scripture and applying it to us today that I have literally ever heard. And I'm not saying that so that on Father's Day, Forrest Head will swell and explode. So Kathleen, look out if it does. But for just a few minutes here, I do want to tackle Ephesians 1. And I want to point out, if we can, some differences in the Father and what he's done and how that relates to the Son and what he's done, because if you read Paul's words in the books that are written to us today, they are very specific when it comes to talking about the Father and his attributes, the Father and His actions, the Father and His will, as opposed to the Son and the attributes of the Son, the actions of the Son, and so forth. Now, I didn't say the will of the Son, because the will of the Son was what? The will of the Son was always the will of the Father. There were never two wills as far as God the Father and God the Son were concerned. There were always that single will. Even to this day, there is that single will between the two of them. So turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 1. And Miss Jen, this is going to be one of them studies that you're going to like, because we're going to start Ephesians, and we're pretty much going to end in Ephesians for today. So turn with me to Ephesians 1. I want to go through this pretty quickly, but I want you to note, here's what I want you to look at as we read it. Maybe look at it like maybe you never have before. And I want you to note what the Father does and what attributes are given, what is attributed to the Father versus what is attributed to the Son as we read through this. So Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. After he lays out who this book is written to, then he's very quickly going to mention the Father. Look at what he says next. Grace be to you and peace from who? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul very specifically mentions not only the Father, but he mentions the Lord Jesus Christ in the same salutation. So Paul very carefully, as we go through this chapter, sets the pattern right here for identifying who does what, in case you maybe haven't thought about it or haven't looked at it that closely. Because God does specific things, and Christ does specific things, but they always work out toward that same will. And that's what I want you to see as we go through this. So the grace and the peace come from who? The grace and the peace that we enjoy. Yes, grace that's poured out on us and peace that I have through knowing what God has done through His Son for us today. There is no greater peace in my mind than to know the truth of the Scripture, the mystery of His will, the mystery of the church, the body of Christ. There is no greater peace than to know that, to know exactly where you fit in God's scheme of things, to know exactly where you fit within the dispensation that we live today. And there is no more grace than to know that. The greatest hope that's ever been opened up, poured out to mankind. There's no way to get any better, any higher than the grace and peace that's poured out from both of them.
I start to say that is the highest grace.
Yeah, it's the pinnacle. Yeah. It's the top of the heap, if you want to use that language. So then Paul in verse 3. Now, verse 3 is where it begins to get specific. So read with me. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Who? Blessed be the Father of Christ. See, then it begins to get more specific as to what God does and what Christ the Son does. So it's the Father, he says, listen to this, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So it's the Father in verse 3 that blesses us with these things. The Lord Jesus Christ is the means by which or through which we are blessed. But it is specifically the Father doing the blessing. When you pray, people, you pray to the Father and you thank Him for His Son and for what His Son has done. Even when Christ Himself prayed. He prayed to the Father. We pray to God the Father, just as he did.
Well, it's like blessing there is, it's like he is pouring out the gift that he gave to us through his Son. He poured that out upon us.
In blessings.
In blessings.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it says. But when you read it in a text, or when you read it in a fashion that you want to see who specifically is doing what, man, the reality of it all is a real slap in the face, or at least it was to me as I began to look at it this morning. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. It's the Father who has blessed us with those blessings. And it says in verse 4, according as he, the Father, it's the Father who hath chosen us in him, Christ, before the catabole of all creation. It was the Father who chose us. You see that? He chose us in his Son from before the casting down of creation, all the earth and all that God had created, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It's the Father that did that. Verse 5, look at this. Having predestinated us, we're still talking about the Father here. It's the Father that did the predestinating. Do you think you were chosen when you come to know that word of truth concerning the mystery? No. You were chosen before the world was ever cast into the water between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. You were chosen before that time. That's when the Father chose you.
That's the verse means foreordained. That's
foreordained.
So before he before made a deal that couldn't be broken.
Exactly.
To be ordained is to have something that can't be ordained.
And he did it because that was the pleasure of his will. He did it because that's just what he wanted to do. And when God wants to do something, who can stand against it? Nobody. So he predestinated. It's the Father that predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Through Christ, he adopts us as children. The sonship adoption. If you don't understand that, Mike Michikowski can explain it to you in very explicit terms. The sonship adoption that cannot be broken. Amazing. But it's the Father. I want you to see it's the Father in verse 5 that is also predestinating us unto an adoption through Christ. According to the good pleasure of whose will?
The Father.
The Father's will. It's the Father that's doing these things. Yes, the Father is the same God, Elohim, that in the beginning created. It's not like your Bible's full of a bunch of different gods. The Father is Elohim, the creator.
The owner.
Yeah. The master owner of all creation.
The true deity.
Exactly. God the Father. So it's according to his good pleasure, his will, as you see in verse 5, to the praise of the glory of whose grace?
The
it's the Father's grace. Paul says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, who is he? The Father. The Father has made us what? Accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved is his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, there ain't no pathway there. Christ said in John, I am the door. If you're coming into the Father, you're coming through this door. There are not many doors. There is only one door. And you can know the Father or acknowledge the existence of a Father and not know the Son and never see that Father. Never get close to that Father. Never be accepted of that Father. Never even be saved of that Father. I know a lot of people, I believe in God. I just don't know. I don't know about this Christ thing. I don't know about this whole Jesus thing. Well, I listen to them on the radio sometimes. Smart people. Intelligent people who do not know the Son of God, who do not even claim to know the Son of God. Sad. It is a sad state of affairs.
That word accepted is also the word engraced.
Engraced.
Yeah, and if we're in that grace, if the understanding of our mind as to where we have been placed and we have been graced in, through Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
We have been graced in.
See, there again, Christ is the conduit. Right. He's the pipe you go through to get to the Father. I don't know of a clearer way to put it than that. If you're going to get to the Father, you've got to go through the hole in that pipe, the door. And that pipe is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the pipe, you don't get there. I don't care how much you acknowledge the existence of God. God doesn't need your acknowledgement of His existence. I hate to tell you. He's not begging you to acknowledge His existence. You can see the existence of God in the very things that He made. They scream Creator. They scream design. They scream beauty and elegance and order. They scream these things.
Riches.
Riches.
You know, the riches that we have been given to use is like the Father telling His Son, well, it's kind of like the prodigal son coming back. The Father said, oh, get all this best stuff.
Yeah, let's get it all together.
Put it on.
The Son is back. Let's have a...
Embracing with all this stuff.
Yeah, let's have a party. Amen.
Amen.
Now, verse 7 is specifically talking about the Son because we're engraced, as Dad says in verse 6, in the Beloved. The Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, in whom, the Son, we have redemption through His blood. See, it's the blood of the Son, not the blood of the Father. There again, Paul, very specific in what he says. Don't mix it up in your mind as you go along. Paul keeps them separate, so we should keep them separate. Give the glory for who did what to God. Just as Paul has given it to us, because who gave it to Paul? Just like I said earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ gave this to the Apostle Paul. He didn't dream it up on his own. No, it's not written and read in your scripture, but it probably should be, because Christ gave it to the Apostle Paul. In whom Christ we have redemption through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Wherein He, back to the Father, in verse 8, He the Father hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So if you're going to have wisdom and prudence, who does it come from? If you're going to have it, you're given it by the Father through the channel of the Spirit. Having made known unto us the mystery of whose will? The Father's will. The mystery of the Father's will is what's revealed to us here.
Well, prudence there is the word insight. And to have insight, to get insight, you have to have something different in order to understand this mystery. You have to have another way of viewing it.
Do you wonder why some people are happy with salvation, life through His name, and others can't stand it until they know more?
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, I don't know why we struggle with these things. It is so plain and so obvious. So if you're looking for a walk today, here's where you look. I'll show you a little more in just a few minutes. Having made known unto us the mystery of His, the Father's will, according to His good pleasure, the Father's good pleasure, which He hath purposed in who? He purposed it in Himself. He didn't have to purpose it in us or in anybody else. He purposed it in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, here we are, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Who's doing the gathering? The Father. The Father gathers it all together in Christ, all things that are in heaven, it says, and which are on earth, in Him, in Christ. That's where the focal point is in Christ. In whom also, this is talking about Christ again, Paul says, in whom also, in Christ also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. It's the Father who's working all this out after the counsel of His own will. But you can very plainly see what the Father's doing in these verses and what role the Son has in these things as we go through it. That we should be to the praise of His glory. This is what we owe the Father. That we should be to the praise of His glory. He is going to use us in the filling of the body to be to the, we're going to be there praising His glory at His manifestation. That should send chill bumps up the back of your neck.
Amen.
Who first trusted in Christ? Paul, of course, talking about those who believed beforehand, before these Ephesians, these saints and faithful that he's talking to here. Then he says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, your specific salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So there's a sealing that comes along with the understanding that you get from that wisdom and prudence that we talked about. If you were chosen from before the catabole of the creation, you will come to a point in your life where you will stop and you will ask somebody, what is this that I'm missing? Now, I've seen it over and over. I'm seeing it even recently.
Amen.
From folks that I never thought would ask me about the truth of the Scripture or asking me questions about it. Why? Because at least there's a possibility that they were chosen at that time. And when you read Ephesians 1, to me it all becomes pretty clear how it's working out.
We may not be able to see it, but He knows.
He knows and has already seen it.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of it.
The insight that we have gives us the opportunity to understand when we see this exactly what you're talking about, that these things are being worked out through these individuals that we might have a part in that.
Yeah, exactly. Because God is not going to choose you not to use you. If He chooses you, there's a reason He chose you.
Amen.
And you're gonna be doing something, whether you know it or not. I never would have dreamed that I would be in the position with Truth for Today that I am right now. When I used to go get the paper out of the mailbox, I would never have dreamed it. And if you would have told me, I would have said, you're a liar. But here we sit in the position that we got. Lowly though it may be, it's what we do for the Lord. It's amazing. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His, the Father's glory. Paul goes on in verse 15. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory." Any doubt about who we're talking about here? Paul says, "I heard that you get it, that you understand it, that you know what your calling is." And now he says, "I cease not to be thankful for you and to mention you when I pray, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give." And if God is going to give it to you, he does it through his Spirit. It's the Spirit, Paul says, that searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So he prays that the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ will give unto you, here we go, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The knowledge of who? The knowledge of his Son. I pray that God will give you wisdom. Now, wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are two totally different things. Knowledge is knowledge. Wisdom is the knowledge of how to use the knowledge, if you think about it. I know a lot of smart people, but they don't have a lot of wisdom. Don't seem like it to me, anyway.
Well,
maybe I don't have a lot of wisdom either.
It's a twofold thing, I think. And I've made a note in my Bible that it's two things. It's not only the mind, but it's the eyes too.
Yes,
the eyes and the mind, because we can see. God has given us these senses to see and to make discernment. This is part of our insight into the mystery. And so we use the eyes to have this insight and to see and discern, to use this, what do we call it? He calls it
the knowledge.
Well, it's the earnest.
Yes.
To use this earnest that we have. That's basically what we have. We have that
down payment.
We have that down payment there that gives us the, as Bob Washington said, the Jewish percentage.
Yeah.
the part that we can see, but it's the eye and the mind here that is open to that point, because we use the eye in one way and we use the mind in another way to make all these discernments and the abilities to help others too, because I think that's our earnest, that with the thing that we can do to get them to work. We can't save anybody,
right?
But we can help them to see the mystery.
Exactly. I sometimes think that in the world we live in today, that there's way too much knowledge and not near enough wisdom, because even in the things of the tampering with the DNA and the things that God has made, yeah, we are so proud of ourselves for how smart we are.
Well, you know,
figure out how to make seeds that will procreate once, and then you've got to buy seeds from Monsanto again.
Yeah.
Because you can't take the seed from what's grown and make it grow again. It won't do it.
Well, you know what DNA stands for. Do not alter.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. That's a good one to remember. But we've done it.
That's man trying to do something better than God.
Better
did
than what God did it.
With.
For his own.
Think about that.
Yeah, for his own use.
We all have our DNA, and we have our RNA too, but DNA is... It basically, in my mind, it says do not alter. It's if any changes is going to be made, God can make it through his Son.
Amen. Yeah,
it's not ours. We can't make ourselves.
We got the knowledge to do things, but not the wisdom to know that we shouldn't. And that's what it boils down to in a lot of cases. A lot of cases. So Paul ceased not to give thanks for you, these these that have believed, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And who does the enlightening? The Father through the Spirit. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, number one. Number two, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. That you'll understand the riches of the glory of that inheritance that you have.
The first part of that is seeing, and the next part of that is understanding.
Yep. And the third one in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Who raised Christ from the dead? God said, that is my Son, the Father, here on Father's Day, said, that is my Son. And he raised him from the dead. He gave him his life back. The one who took on all the sin for mankind, like a sponge. He said, that's my Son. And he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in all the ages which are to come. I think is a better way to say that in that verse.
Yeah,
not only in this age, Paul says, but in every age to come, doesn't matter what dispensation you are, there that Son is at the right hand of the Father, above all the rest. Never to change. Permanent. Permanent. Hidden in God at the moment. Not to be revealed until we're revealed with Him. Think about that. And the Father has done what? He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Father, the Father put all things under the feet of the Son and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All these things at the bidding of the Father. The bidding of the Father according to the good pleasure of his will. Why does he do it? Why did he choose me? Why does he want these things? I don't have a clue. All I know is that what I see is the way he wanted it. Paul says all these things were done according to his will. And I'm telling you what they are, Paul says. Here are all the things that were done according to his will. Paul never says why he willed it the way he did. That's up to God. You know, we tend to want to roll back too far sometimes. We need to let God own the things that are God's. And we need to worry about the things that are ours. Well, what are the things that are ours? Well, turn with me over to Ephesians 4. Read you a few verses. For all he has done for us as the Father, what does he expect in return? Now, I always knew when Dad was bringing us up that, yeah, he provides the clothes and the food and the shelter, but guess what? I knew there was an expectation of me as a son of doing the correct thing, of having a walk that would not be displeasing to the Father. And, you know, if I got out of line, which I did on many occasions, I got the gentle leather reminder that I'm supposed to be back in that line on more than one occasion. And I remember most of them vividly. So there is an expectation. Where much is given, much is expected, people. Yeah, uh-oh, you're right, Kate. There is an expectation that goes along with it. Let's read Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. just briefly. I therefore, Paul says, after divulging all the truth in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3 concerning this wonderful, new, majestic calling of the church, the body of Christ, there's a few requirements, Paul says. I therefore, as Paul would say, stop, look, and listen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Have you ever been beseeched? Yeah, you have. Just like I was beseeched by my father. When Dad says, I beseech you to go to school and learn like you're supposed to learn and make good grades and not cut up and act like a heathen. And if you get a whipping at school, guess what? You're going to get a whipping worse than that when you get home. And that happened a time or two. But when Paul says, I beseech you, it's exactly that. You can take it as a commandment if you want to, because that's what it pretty much is. I strongly urge is a better way to say it, maybe. I beseech you that you walk worthy, worthy of what you've been called to. Remember what I said. Where much is given, much is expected. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, you fathers, does this mean you don't act like a father? Does this mean you try to change your sex to be a mother? Does this mean that you have a license to run around and do whatever you want to? No, it does not. You're to walk worthy, Paul says, of this calling, the vocation, the calling wherewith you're called. Because it is a calling. And here's the formula. Paul doesn't tell you to do something without giving you the ingredients of the recipe here. With all lowliness and meekness. With long suffering, hard to long suffer. Forbearing one another in love, Paul says. That's hard to do sometimes. Forbearing one another in love. I am not so good at that. On most occasions, I fall way short. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit is what ties us together. And that peace, as we've already mentioned. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father.
The oneness that they had, the oneness that the Father and the Son had is equitable to the oneness of the Father and the Son on the earth.
Exactly. Emulate that here, God basically is saying, through the Apostle Paul.
And you'll have that peace. It's not something that causes strife, it causes peace.
It genders peace, exactly. And then he goes on to, and I read this in verse 4, and I wonder why there are so many denominations in the world, but I know the answer to that too. There is one body, Paul says, and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It just sort of slaps the denominations in the face, don't it? One God and Father. There he is again. You see what I mean about Paul? Keeping the Father where he goes and keeping the Son specifically where he goes. One God and Father who is above all and through all and in all. Not in you all. That word should be omitted. The word you there should be omitted in that verse because it wasn't in the original text. The Father is in all, isn't he? What was it the psalmist said? If you go to the deepest ocean, he's there. The highest mountain,
or even the highest heaven.
Yeah, the highest heavens, he's still there. The Father's still there. Let's go to Ephesians 5. I'll read a few verses and then we'll close. A few more admonitions. And what I'm reading you folks is by far not all of them. I'm just scratching the surface in my little side trip here. Paul says, be ye therefore, stop looking, listen again. Huh. Reckon why he has to say that. Therefore means because of what I have previously written already. As Dad says, stop looking, listen. It's a pause to reflect on what has been said in light of what is about to be said.
Right. It's like,
see how the two connect together.
It's like a railroad track. You got to look both ways. Yeah. You don't know which way the train.
Paul says, because God has given you this, here's what I want you to do. And I don't know how more plainly to say it than that. Be ye therefore imitators of God. Ah, just like my dad wanted me to be. You're going to act like somebody when you go to school. And when you get out in life, you're going to be somebody as an imitator of God. Followers of God as dear children. Now you have children that are dear children. And if you have some that are not followers of God, they can be not so dear children. They're still your child. But you have dear children and undear children, if that's a word. You want to make that a word. And walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us. I see a pattern developing here too. And hath given himself for us. It was Christ who loved us. And it was Christ the Son who hath given himself for us. For an offering and a sacrifice to who? To the Father. Christ sacrificed himself to the Father. Did you know that? Well, you do now. For a sweet smelling savor, just like in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Paul mentions that in the book of Hebrews.
The.
Once with his own blood,
the
he went in.
Wonderful whiff.
Oh, man, yes.
The.
What about that?
Yeah.
Then the rules. But fornication? Here's the expectations, y'all. Get ready. Gird up thy loins, as the scripture says. And get ready. But all fornication and all uncleanness, I mentioned that earlier, in the world. Or covetousness, let it not once be named above you as becometh saints. You want to know how to walk? There it is. I can't say it no plainer than the scripture did. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And convenient there should be the word befitting, which are not befitting. Things that don't fit where you got them. What? You believe this and act like this? That's not a very good fit. Not a good fit at all. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. And boy, they're out there. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore, because of what I've already said, Paul says, partakers with them. Don't you get in their vein. Don't you get to the point where you live the life they lead. Don't walk like they walk, Paul says. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Because of what you've been given, here's how you act. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's the fruits that God gives through His Holy Spirit. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Listen, if you're proving what's acceptable to the Lord, do you think there may be some things that are not acceptable to the Lord? There's a ellipsis here a little bit. You know the answer. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I've been asked by some if our meetings are, here are they closed meetings? And my answer was, absolutely not. Because that's cultish and it's scary. And it's a shame, as the scripture says, even to speak of such things that would be done in secret. But all things, verse 13, he says, that are reproved or made manifest by the light. You shine the light on it, there it is. Truth. But you have to shine the light on
truth
it.
Truth and light goes together.
They go together, exactly. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Everything that brings this garbage out where it can be seen is the light. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Amen.
And he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men. We're back to the wisdom and prudence again, that you will be given by the Father, Paul says. Those blessings come through him. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, buying back the time, because the days are evil. The days are also short. We have a scant few days in our life to accomplish that which the Lord has set forth. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. For the will of the Lord and the will of the Father are the same thing. Always have been.
Amen.
Always will be. Don't blow away the time. Get in there and understand what the will of the Father is. And we do that through the study of His Scripture and thoughtful prayer. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And when I sing, you certainly want me to do it in my heart. You don't want me to do it through my mouth, because it's not so great. We'll leave that to Gary. We'll leave the singing to Gary. Way better at it than me. And then our final verse. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you pray to the Father in His name. See, there's a correct way to do these things. You may or may not even have seen this as you go through the admonitions in the book of Ephesians. And we've just scratched the surface here today. I could take this. Say what? Lori was giving me a comment from the end of the table there. But you could take this study, and I hope you will, and go on and on and on and on through the other six books and the rest of Ephesians that we ain't even touched the surface of. And see what it is that God's admonitions are as the Father here on Father's Day are for you as dear children. And His admonitions are that you will walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. And we'll stop there. Bow with me. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all things that we have in him, through him, and by him. And Father, especially for that precious blood that he brought into your throne room at that time and offered up once for all. God, we are so thankful for that understanding and for the understanding that Paul gives us through the books that were written for our walk. Father, thank you so much for the truth that is ours in him. Thank you so much for an understanding of these things that we know you reveal by your Spirit. Thank you for our fathers today, for those that stand for your truth and those that stand for the truth of the Word, Father. Thank you so much for them and for their testimony. And Father, may their word go forth according to your will and your purpose, as you purposed in Christ before the ages were. Be with us, continue to bless us, and keep us in that word and in that will of yours, as we endeavor to walk worthy of this vocation, Father, that we are called. For it's in his name this morning, Father, that we do humbly pray. Amen.